Okay, right. We're going to have an offering at the end of this message for the work of the church building. Don't worry if you're unable to give today. If you want to, if you're not come prepared and you want to put in an IOU, you're welcome to do that. But there's no pressure to give if you don't feel that you want to give. So, but today, because we're having an offering, because we're thinking about the new building, I thought it would be good to think about Nehemiah, because he went through something very, very similar to what we're going through at the minute. He was in a situation where the Jews came back from captivity and they had to rebuild. They had an awful lot of rebuilding to do, and he was part of that process. So we're going to learn about Nehemiah today, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide you into three groups. That's going to be a bit tricky because you're in two groups, aren't you? How are we going to do this? Could do, yeah. So group one then, front row. Middle row, your group two, and then back row and at the back, your group three. So when we get a bit further on in the story and we're rebuilding, what I'd like you to do is, first of all, the front row, to do some tapping sounds like you're hammering some nails. A bit like we were the other night when we were trying to hammer the pews together. So if you go, as loud as you can, please. That's great. And while they're doing that, then row two, if you can go, do some soaring sounds, please, as loud as you can. Here we go. Troy, go. You can do louder than that. Come on. Thanks, that's great. Row three, if you can do a stretch and go. I think row three is the best so far. Let's just try that again. Who's the loudest row? Let's try row one. Row two. Come on, row two, a bit louder than that. Row three. maybe half of row three there can join row two. Can you just... It is hard. Okay, let's try that one more time then. Row one. Row two. You're not doing it now, you're joining them. Come on. You are joining the soaring there. Come on. Row three. That's very good. Okay. Right, I need a volunteer to be a king. Well, in fact, two volunteers to be king. And you won't get the sword, no, I'm afraid not. But you will get a crown. So I want someone to be a king, please, on a chair here. Who wants to be a king? Simon, do you want to be a king? Who wants to be a king? Yeah, Lewis, come on, Lewis, bring a chair with you. And we need someone to be the king after he's died. Who wants to be the king after? Reuben, do you want to be the king after? Yep. If Reuben can just be ready for when he dies. It's not very nice, is it? Okay. Sarah, if you can put that around him. And come, while he's being crowned, can we go? Fantastic. That's great. This is King Cyrus. Give Burger King. Burger King Cyrus. That's lovely. Give them away, Burger King Cyrus. Lovely. Okay, what else do I need? I'm going to need a group of children who want to be returnees, people returning from captivity. So a big crowd of you, if possible. So I'll call you out when... Who wants to be part of the crowd? You just have to do some stamping and some building and stuff. Hands up if you want to be part of that. Yes, I've got two there. Yep, Simeon. There's a sword involved as well. You can hold a sword, yeah. A sword and a trout, yeah. I'll call you a little bit later on when we're ready for you then, okay? Right. A Dane and Hart as well. Lovely. Are we ready for the story today then? This is called A Time to Build. My people have learned their lesson, God decided. It's time for them to go home. Can we have a hooray, please? Hooray! Well, actually, they'd been in captivity for 70 years. That's a long time. And they were getting really quite sad with it. So God whispered in the ear of Cyrus. He was king of the country where God's people were slaves. Send them home, God said. So Cyrus did. So Cyrus, can you just give us a point and say, go home? Brilliant. That's not you lot going home now, please. So Cyrus did just that, and thousands upon thousands of people returned to Jerusalem. So who's my crowd of people returning to Jerusalem? Come on, come at the front. I want you to do some stamping, if you eat, and start returning, marching all the way back to Jerusalem, please. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three, four. Up, two. And if you can just walk that way and then walk back again. Up, that's him. Up, two, three, four. Up, two, three. We're off to see the wizard. No, not we're not off to see the wizard. We're back off to Jerusalem. Testing 1, 2, that's good. The recording's going to be have dropped out now, never mind. So God gave them a great opportunity and they needed to take it with both hands. So can you just take the opportunity with both hands and go, yes please, Lord. What about all those people that stayed behind? Many of them were distracted in a place called Babylon. They had their own businesses and they'd mingled amongst the people and they'd forgotten about the plan that God had for their lives. I believe this building is part of God's plan for us. It's an opportunity that God is wanting us to take with both hands. It's amazing, isn't it? The price that we've got the building for. It's a gift from God. And it's going to cause an awful lot of hard work and faith on our part, but it's a window of opportunity, a bit like this, that God's people had. And we'd be crazy not to go for it with everything within us. It's one of those things that God does, a time of opportunity. And when we get the building, it doesn't replace the vision that God has given us. It helps us to fulfill the vision that God has given to us. The vision that God has given is what? What are we meant to be doing as a church? Sorry? Preaching the gospel, building followers of Christ is our saying, because we're trying to fulfill Matthew chapter 28 where it says, go out and make disciples of all nations. That is our job description. It's what God's called us to do. And the way that we're going to do it is building a strong local church here in Bryn Mawr, which in turn plants other churches out into the area and further afield. That's the aim. So having a building helps us to develop that strong local church as a base to plant out. Also, there's 8 key areas that we're looking to fulfill as a church. One of them is discipleship, making disciples. Having a building is a great place to teach people because you can gather vast numbers of people. You can have guest speakers in to do training and to speak to people. It's a great place for seminars, breaking up into small groups. It's a great place for learning. So it helps us to fulfill discipleship. It helps us to fulfill evangelism. If you look at the back of your notice sheets, all of these things are on the back, our vision. Evangelism is part of that. Having a building is a great jumping out place to go out and preach the gospel. For instance, we're meeting there today to do evangelism practice with the Passion Play. We're going to meet there probably on Good Friday to change and to go out. So it doesn't mean that we're limited evangelism. It means it's a base. I think it'd be a great place to do street pastors, for street pastors to meet and then to go out on the streets preaching the gospel. So it helps us to tick that box. Fellowship. It helps to have a building that we can use for joint socials between different home groups. A curry night. I know you're not all into curry, but I am. I love it. Chicken tikka masala, please. Pilau rice. But it's a place where we can have chicken tikka masala in between our different groups. Or whatever food you like. Curry Church. Prayer. Well, that's one of our purposes. Wouldn't it be great to have all-night prayer meetings? Well, it's you can do it with more people with a building. You can do it with houses, but it's easier with a building, isn't it? The presence of God. Isn't it great to be able to have a building where you don't have to suddenly be out by a certain time, where you can do some carpet time, where God's ministering to you, you're just lying there receiving from the Lord. Wonderful. It's great for that, the presence of God. Ministry times. A great place for training in ministry, and there'll be all new areas of service opening up as we have a building. Mercy Mission, a place we can do CAP courses where we teach about finance, how to handle money and that sort of stuff. A place where we can do possibly food bank, where we can do things at soup kitchens, where we can outreach to the poor. And then lastly, worship, a great place where we can not have to set up all that equipment every single week, but it's just there ready, and we can have extended times of worship practices. So it helps us to fulfill the vision that God has given to us and to make disciples. Okay, we're going to carry on with the story now. Here we go. Are you ready? One person's not ready. There was a lot of work to do when they got there. So start working, guys. They had to rebuild their houses. Can we start doing some tapping, sawing, stretching? They had to rebuild their houses so they had somewhere to live. They had to rebuild the temple so they had somewhere to worship God. They had to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem so they had somewhere to hide from their enemies. It was hard work. There was no end of problems. And for a long time, it looked as if the work would never get done. Can we have an R, please? Okay. Shh. And then Cyrus died. Can you do a dramatic death, please, Cyrus? And another king named Artaxerxes. Can you say Artaxerxes? Took his place. Can we crown King Artaxerxes and go?
Rise, Sir King Artaxerxes.
And God took the chance. God took the chance to help his people by whispering in the ear of a man who could get that king's attention. I need one more volunteer now to be Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king. Have we got a cup? Or my, Sarah, it's in that bag there. If you can just bring me my props bag, thanks. Simeon, do you? Or I'll allow Sarah. That's him. That's the cup. Sarah, can you choose someone to be Nehemiah, the cupbearer to king? Lewis is going to be cupbearer. Oh, okay. Well, he can be part of the crowd if he wants. Or maybe they can both be Nehemiah together. Just morph together somehow. Okay. So here's King. Can we have the two Nehemiahs come forward? Cupbearers, come before the king, please. You need to go in front of the king. Okay, here we go. What a cupbearer had to do was something very, very special and very trusted. Does anybody know? Hand up, please. Sorry? Yep. Yes, it was the food taster. Well, it was the taster of the king. Making sure that nothing was poisoned that the king was going to have. So that was quite an area of responsibility. And Nehemiah was willing to take on that role. So can we taste it first for the king? Is there poison in it? It died. Okay, king, you can have it. It's safe. Can you say thank you, please, king? That's great. Well, one day, the brothers all the Israelites came and gave word to Nehemiah, who was cupbearer for the king, that things weren't good in Jerusalem. All the people that had gone back to Jerusalem were suffering because the walls weren't rebuilt around the city. And they were like sitting ducks. They could have been attacked at any moment. It was a terrible situation. So Nehemiah, although he thought things were going well with the people who had returned, he was really upset. He knew that God had called him to do something very special. But if you were cupbearer for the king, you had to always be happy. If you appeared sad in front of the king's presence, you could have your head chopped off. So, Nehemiah, I want you to look really sad. Can you start crying as you give the king his cup? Can we have sobbing, please? Just imagine it. Nehemiah was prepared to risk his life in order to get the king to send him to go back to Jerusalem, because he knew that the king could help him and the king could provide all that he needed to go back and start the rebuilding. So he was risking his life. And this is my second point in the sermon. If we want to achieve anything for God, we've got to be prepared to sacrifice. What does that mean? It means paying a cost, paying a price. As we give today, we can choose just to give a little bit, or we can actually choose to give something that we know for us is going to be a sacrifice. That's just one area of our lives. But our worship, whenever we come to worship God, we can choose just to sing a song, or we can really choose to give a sacrifice to God. The Bible says in Romans that real worship is being a living sacrifice, laying down our lives for God. And Nehemiah knew this, and he was someone who was willing to give his best so that God could use him. Okay, back to the story. Are you ready? So King Cyrus has died. There's another king, Artaxerxes, taking his place. And God took the chance to help his people by whispering in the ear of a man who could get that king's attention. The man's name was Nehemiah. Can we have a cheer, please? Nehemiah's job was to bring the king his wine each day and to taste it first to see that no one had put any poison in it. The king trusted him very much and was puzzled when Nehemiah arrived one day, cup in hand, with a sad frown on his face. What's the matter, Nehemiah?
What's the matter, Nehemiah?
The king said. Why do you look so sad?
Why do you look so sad?
Nehemiah whispered a prayer first. So, Nehemiah, can you whisper a prayer, please? Forgive me, your majesty, Nehemiah begged. I know it's my duty to smile in your presence, but I can't. I've heard that my people are suffering in their homeland. The walls of Jerusalem are broken down. I know that I could help if only I could go and join them. I know also that you have wood and stone, which would make their job so much easier. Please send me. Can we have some begging, please? Please send me there with supplies to finish the job and bring an end to my people's suffering. King Artaxerxes thought long and hard. Can you scratch your head, please, Artaxerxes? Yes, Nehemiah, he answered. Big yes, please. You may go, but let me send some of my soldiers along to protect you along the way. Nehemiah thanked the king. Shake his hand. And he thanked God too. And he set off on the long journey. So guys, can you start your long journey again? Start marching. You're going back to Jerusalem with Nehemiah and your soldiers. Okay, thanks. And freeze. Guys, that brings me to my next point. If we're prepared to do our bit like Nehemiah did, and if we're prepared to sacrifice so that it costs us something, then God will do his bit and he'll bring his provision. It would be wrong of us to not sacrifice, but just to expect God to play his part, or to maybe get funding for the things that we want to do, but for us not to actually give an offering ourselves. As we give sacrificially and as we give in faith, God will play his part. As we trust him to do that, he's going to bring about great provision. When you think about it, the costs of what we're about and what we're involved in are probably, I should imagine, more than we can muster up amongst ourselves. So we have to exercise trust, as Nehemiah did, in our great God. And as Nehemiah did trust God, isn't it amazing the king said, soldiers, you can go with him. But more than that, the king provided the funds, the resources for the walls to be built. The kings, the foreign kings who didn't even know God, were favorable towards the Israelites, and they paid, and they gave resources, and they gave protection as well for the people of God. You know, what we'd like to do isn't just do the things that were flagged up by the survey. We want to do that, and that'll be phase one, to get at the place watertight. And I've actually brought along today, I wonder if you can do the slides, please, after the last song that we did. It's on there. You'll have the sword a little bit later on, guys. What I wanted to do is show you what it's going to possibly look like, the work that we're about to do. So where's the last song you just did? Amazing Grace. It's after that. Okay, there we go. This is phase one. Can you go back, please? That's great. So this is the downstairs main hall. These are the big double doors. This is a Sunday school room, or Sunday school area. This is the kitchen. So what we're going to do is put a wall in there and extend the toilets, put a few more toilets in. I put a disabled toilet there as well. But build a couple of Sunday school rooms that can be used for the children's Sunday school. Keep that downstairs as the main hall. Stage area here. Keep these side rooms as storage and an office. Put a creche in there for the main meeting. Now, this is doable as a phase one. It's not too much work, although there's quite a few extra things that we need to do to get builders to do on the outside. But really, ideally, we want to do a bit more than that. We could as well put in, if you show them the next slide, please. We could put in a full ceiling as part of phase one, just to help us heat the downstairs. We don't know how long it's going to take to get funding to do more work. So there's a bit of an unknown quantity. But phase two, if you can just carry on, show us the next one. This is phase two. This is where we have the upstairs as a main meeting hall. We have a couple of Sunday school rooms, and we have the creche downstairs, but we also have a hall, a multi-purpose hall downstairs, which could be used for mothers and toddlers, for youth outreach, the youth club that we do. A couple of offices there and one there. Storage for mothers and toddlers stuff and youth equipment. But also we've got another toilet here, which could be accessed from upstairs. Those who need to go to the toilet in the middle of the service, you just pop down the stairs and you've got a disabled toilet there. You've got a lift there, disabled lift of access. And at the rear, you've got a fire escape stairs there as well. Also, this then would be a coffee bar area for outreach and for doing all sorts of different activities. It also allows us, because we've got a couple of hatches here, you could link this room and this room so you can actually feed an awful lot of people. Maybe have an alpha evening where you feed an awful lot of people downstairs. We could have things like receptions happening there, conferences happening there, where we could not only do teaching, these could be multi-purpose rooms for seminars and that sort of stuff, but we could also feed a lot of people as well. And if we have a look upstairs, well, that's the stairway going up from the outside. Remember, there's a slanted road to go up to get upstairs as well as into the main bit for fire escape. And then the next one, please, Dev. Isn't that wonderful? The architect has actually managed to fit 250 seats in there. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have a hall where we could actually seat that many people? These are flip-down seats on the side and at the back, and these are movable seats. So we could have various things where we could stack these chairs in here and have an open space for different usage. Stage area here, PA desk at the back there. We thought about putting a toilet in, but I'm not sure if we're going to be able to fit that in or not now. If we just carry on a little bit, we can then see what it's going to look like, a visualization. So here's, so we'd keep the, this is what is existing, the balcony at the minute. We'd lose a bit of the tiered seating at the front, but we'd keep a little bit of tiered seating at the back. So you've got a bit of an idea of how it would work. There's a staircase can up here, and that's the disabled lift access as well. And then there's that's the fire escape, and that's storage there. And then, Dav, if you can show us a few more from there of different angles. So I did it basically on the plan of the architect. You can see the toilet there if we keep that. The only problem with this, really, is when you look at the stage area, look how boxed in it is. So I don't know if that's going to work in practice. So I've actually, and also you've got the doorways here and here, right next to the stage. So I've adapted it a little bit, but not checked it yet with the architect, because I think we probably need a little bit of a bigger stage area. So if you just show us, that's how the architect did it. The next one. This is with the stage area increased, and the doorways moved a bit as well. If you show us the next one as well, Dav, that's how it looked from the stage area looking out. And then the next one. Here you get the best idea. So I personally think if we could manage to do a larger stage like that, it would be pretty good as a place that's usable for all sorts of different activities. Any more on there? That's the last one. So that gives us a bit of an idea of you know, it's not set in stone, and we're still in the discussion stages. Value your input there. If you've got ideas or thoughts about it, please let us know. But I just wanted to give you a flavour of some of the things that could be done. And phase two, really, would be something not just for us as a church, but something where we could encourage the community to come in and use the building. Because I personally believe the more people you can get through a building, the more you're going to be able to be an influence to the society that we're trying to reach. John Maxwell, one of the Christian key teachers on leadership, said, a leader, the definition of leadership is influence. And the more people that we can actually form relationship with and get used in the building, I believe the more people are going to be able to share the gospel with, and that we're going to achieve our purpose and aim, our stated aims on the news sheet, to actually make disciples. So that's the different ideas, and we're looking to give ourselves, but we're also looking to get help with grants as well. Right, the last bit of the story. Are you ready, guys? When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he found Jerusalem in a terrible state. Can I have an ah? But the people were pleased to see him. Let's build up these walls, he encouraged them. Who's Nehemiah? Can you shout it out? Let's build up the walls. Brilliant. For God is with us. For God is with us. So they started the work. Can you start building up the walls, please, everyone? Sawing, stretching at the back. Fraser, please, stretch. Big yawn. The amazing thing is this, guys. They worked hard, and they worked as a team. And they managed to do the job in a very short period of time. But it wasn't easy. At times, they had to fight off their enemy. Okay. Somebody have the trowel. Someone who's not pushing themselves forward. Yeah, well done. Can you pretend you're using a trowel to build up the stones and using a sword to fight off the enemy? The Bible says that some of them had to work with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Can you believe that? Because the enemy kept attacking them, trying to stop them from rebuilding. As we start this building project, Satan's going to try and distract us. He's going to try everything he can to discourage us, to divert us, to distract us. In fact, there were some enemies who were trying to get Nehemiah to go and have a meeting with them because they wanted, don't fight over the sword, that's it, share it nicely. They wanted to stop him from rebuilding the walls. But he said this, he said, I'm about a great work and I cannot come down to meet you. He knew what his priority was. And I just want to encourage us, as we start obeying God in this new venture, Satan's going to chuck things at us. Maybe he's going to try and chuck disunity at us, relationship breakdown. Let's overcome those things. Let's keep focused. And let's not give up when the going gets tough. But also, let's each one of us play our part. That means that if you're able to help out with the building work, then come along and lend a hand. If you're able to commit to prayer, praying for it, then commit to prayer. If you're able to bring encouragement or able to make teas and coffees for people who are working, there's many different parts to play in this whole venture. But let's not give up. Let's keep enduring and let's see the work done. Can we have a great big round of applause for all our helpers this morning, please? Thank you, guys. You can have a sit down now. I think the sword needs to go back, but you can have a look at it after. Right, ladies and gents, mums and dads, girls and boys, let's have an offering, shall we? We're going to sing a song of worship and praise, thanksgiving to God. And this is all about God's faithfulness. We're going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's thank God for the building. It's His gift to us to see His purposes come to pass in Bryn Mawr and the surrounding area. Oh, sorry, mate. You okay? Are you right? I just cracked you around the head. You must be tough. Sorry about that. I was just doing my gestures. Whop. Hope you haven't got a black eye tomorrow. Yes, we definitely do need. So we've got some baskets that we're going to bring around as we sing this song. So if you've bought cash and you want to pop it in there, or if you want to write out an IOU, checks are payable to Valleys Family Church. Sorry? Actually, building fund. It needs to say building fund, does it? Can I hand over to... Can I hand over to Jenny? Jenny, do you want to say anything about or give any guidance about the offering? Or Philip? If you need any help, put your hand up and Jenny will come to you. Yeah. That's great, guys. Let's worship God, shall we, with this song of thanksgiving.
Yeah, what we're going to do, Brenda and Paula are going to come down one either side and they're going to pass the basket along from the front to the back. And then once it's got to the back, the offering will then be counted. And all being well, at the end of the song or before we retire to Tabor, we can find out how much we've given. Okay, so let's worship. Let's give. Thank you.